So the cat is out the bag. Can't even surprise you. Peace. We just sang songs that got our mind focused on peace. And one of the words, one of the lines, and one of the songs was, "Seek peace, pursue it earnestly." Seek peace, pursue it earnestly. I'll read you the lines of another song on peace as an introduction here. Song that you're very familiar with, you'll all recognize it. "Let there be peace on earth, and let it begin with me. Let there be peace on earth, the peace that was meant to be. With God as our Father, brothers all are we. Let me walk with my brother in peace and harmony, in perfect harmony. Let peace begin with me, let this be the moment now. With every step I take, let this be my solemn vow. To take each moment and live each moment in peace eternally, let there be peace on earth, and let it begin with me." Now, as you sit there and listen to the words of this song, ringing in your ears, you may be saying to yourself, how am I supposed to do that? How am I supposed to let peace begin with me? I'll give you the answer to these questions in a minute, but first, a story. And the inspiration for the sermon today came from a book I read recently called The Anatomy of Peace. It's written by the Arbinger Institute. And let me read a story that you will find fascinating. In June of 1066, the Crusaders entered Jerusalem and practically slaughtered in their path Muslims, Jews, and Christians alike. This cycle of violence continued until the time of the Turkish Sultan Saladin. His armies recaptured Jerusalem about 90 years later. Militarily, politically, and in every other way, Saladin was the most successful leader at that time. Saladin was renowned for his kindness to his allies and to his enemies alike. So here's the story. As he planned to attack Jerusalem and recapture it from the Crusaders, he sprung a trap on them from the Sea of Galilee. And a few escaped, including the leader, a leader named Balian of Ibelin. He escaped to Tyre. Now, he sent a message to Saladin saying, "Can I go back to Jerusalem and get my wife?" Saladin gave him an escort, soldiers to protect him through his own lines to go back to Jerusalem to get his wife. Once he got to Jerusalem and saw the dire straits they were in and that they really didn't have a leader, he sent a message to Saladin and said, "I changed my mind. I want to stay here and fight." Saladin said, "That's fine. I'll still get your wife out." And so he had his soldiers escort his wife out to safety. Who does that? Now, 9 days later, the city of Jerusalem was captured through almost the same entrance that the Crusaders came. But he didn't slaughter the way the Crusaders did. In fact, he didn't plunder. He just let the people live in peace. He won the war, he took over, and he let the people continue to live. Now, why would that happen? How could that be? How could that be? Just about now, some of you may be wondering, Dr. B, what has this to do with peace on earth and peace on earth beginning with me? I'll explain that in a minute, but it's important that we draw a contrast. The Crusaders were barbaric towards their enemies. In contrast, Saladin was humane. The reason is the Crusaders saw their enemies not as people, but as objects to be driven out or slaughtered at their whim. Saladin, on the other hand, saw his enemies as people, misguided, but people nevertheless. And he had regard for the people he was defeating. He saw and regarded the humanity of the people he conquered. So what made the difference? What is the lesson? Almost any behavior, even behavior as stark as war, can be done in two different ways. It can be done from a heart of peace, seeing others as people with hopes, needs, cares, and fears as real as our own, or it can be done out of a heart of war, seeing others as obstacles, objects, vehicles, and irrelevancies. It's just a way of life. Mr. Armstrong used to refer to this concept as a way of gift, a way of give, and a way of get. If we can't put an end to the violence within us, there is no hope of putting an end to the violence outside of us. So if there's going to be peace, it has to begin with me. So when we sing the song or hear the song, "Let There Be Peace on Earth and Let It Begin with Me," I want us to look at it, peace, in a way that we maybe have never looked at it before. Peace begins with me. Now let us define peace. The word peace is the Hebrew word shalom, often used as a greeting word or a departing word, such as hello or goodbye. It is a term related to health, prosperity, harmony, and wholeness. It means perfect welfare, serenity, fulfillment, freedom from trouble, and liberation from anything which hinders contentment. It is important to remember that peace in the Bible is always based on justice and righteousness. Where justice prevails and righteousness rules, there will also always be peace. But without these two virtues, peace is not possible. The plain truth is that everyone who harbors thoughts of enmity, jealousy, hatred, greed, fear. In fact, if you turn with me to James 4:1, we will read about that. James 4:1. From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence even of your lusts that war in your members? So if in us is the source of wars, then in us has to come the beginnings of peace. From us have to come the beginnings of peace. Unless we as individuals are actively engaged in seeking peaceful solutions to every domestic, interpersonal, and business problem that confronts us, then we may in fact be engaged in establishing attitudes that precipitate war. War is a terrible master, and once we submit to it, once we consent to fight, quarrel, hate, and suspect, we have submitted to a pattern that can only lead to agony and woe. It is right in our own homes and families that we must begin to shatter the war mentality. on which the world has become addicted. But the lessons of history have shown that by ourselves, we cannot do that as individuals, as families, and as nations. Actually, according to the Bible, we could have peace if we just meet three basic conditions for the cause of peace. The first one, there is a law of peace. Adherence to a universal standard or law is the first cause of peace. The Bible states that God's law, the law of liberty, produces peace as an automatic result of obedience to it. In fact, if you turn with me to Psalms 119, 165, we will find out a little more about that. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend it. So if peace is to begin with us, then we have to love God's law. And if we truly love God's law and fully understand God's law and understand how to love and live by God's law, great peace we'll have, and nothing will offend us. Consider a few examples of how God's law operates. How could nations on an international level continue to fight and kill if forced to obey the simple injunction, thou shalt not kill? Just think of the countless millions of lives that could have been saved. Just think of the peace there would be among people if they considered the injunction, the command, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Think how peaceful our homes or communities and our countries would be. And the commands, thou shalt not commit adultery, honor thy father and thy mother, all those are designed for peace in the home. Starts with me in the home, spreads out to the community, and then to the nations around. Peace. Let peace begin on earth, but let it begin with me. Step two, a mind of peace. The precepts and principles of God's law stand as little more than empty, meaningless words on the pages of the Bible unless actuated by a frame of mind or attitude that earnestly desires to put God's law into practice. The Bible refers to this kind of mind as a mind guided by and imbued by the Spirit of God, the Spirit of peace. If all men in all nations were imbued with the power of this spirit, they would be capable of controlling those innate drives and lusts that lie as the root cause of wars, as we read in James 4:1. Similarly, on a domestic scale, the human emotions produced by God's spirit in man's life are concerns, kindness, consideration, a desire to contribute to the welfare of others, and peace. By obeying God's law through the Spirit of God enables a man to resist the causes which prevent peace in his own life. And yet the dream of peace on earth continues to elude us. The third step, a government of peace. And that's what we're celebrating now during the fall festival. We just went through the Feast of Trumpets, where we reviewed the return of the Prince of Peace. And as we go forward, During the holy days, we get to the Festival of Tabernacles. We review where God will establish on this earth his covenant of peace. Let's look at Isaiah 2:4 and see how that will come about. Isaiah 2, verse 4. And he shall judge among the nations and shall rebuke many people, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. But we won't get there until peace begins with us. So to do that, to get there, to understand that, we have to ask three critical questions. Number one, am I at peace with myself? Am I at peace with myself? If not, what do I need to do starting right now to become at peace with myself? Remember, if you direct your thoughts and control your emotions, you will ordain your destiny. Peace isn't something that happens. Peace is something that's made. So if we're going to be at peace with ourselves, then we have to begin to do it, to make it. First step, repent. Let's look at Psalms 51, verse 10. Psalms 51, verse 10. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. So for peace to begin with me, it has to start with a cleaning out, a cleansing, a renewal, a creation. We can't do it ourselves, but God can't do it until we ask him. David asked him, create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me. Because until that first step is taken, we can never be at peace with ourselves. Step two. Let's turn to Philippians 2 and read verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Well, what we know about him is that he is the Prince of Peace. And when the announcement was made for his birth, it was told that he will bring peace, the government of peace will be upon his shoulder. And all through his ministry, as we read of him intermingling and interacting with people, his first words would be, peace be unto you, peace be unto you. He was truly a minister of peace. The next step that we have to do is to obey the law of peace. And we alluded to that a little before. To love our neighbors. And we can only do that if we see them as people. And if we can only do that if we have a heart of peace, rather than a heart of war. Next step is to ask God to keep us in perfect peace. Keep us in perfect peace. Let's look at Isaiah 26, verse 3. Isaiah 26, verse 3. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusted in thee. So, it's like the example. If someone gives you a cup of juice, let's say, and tell you to keep it cold, well, unless it was cold to begin with, you can't keep it cold. For the hurricane, Darlene froze milk and water and all the things that she wanted to be kept frozen and put them in a container that kept them frozen. We can't keep something unless it's that way to begin with. So God can only keep us in perfect peace if we develop that peace in the first place. And he said, I will keep you in perfect peace. He will keep you in perfect peace. So when we pray, thy kingdom of peace come, thy will in making me an instrument of peace be done on earth, there is synchrony, there's harmony with that prayer. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Peace. Peace with me and peace from you. Next question. Am I at peace with my fellow man? Am I at peace with my fellow man? This can only happen when we complete the step above. We have to be at peace with ourselves. It's the only way we can be at peace with our fellow man. In fact, the law, the first and the second, love your neighbor as yourself. You can't love your neighbor unless you love yourself. You can't be at peace with your neighbor unless you're at peace with yourself. So as the song requests, let there be peace on earth, but let it begin with me. And as I said, peace must be made. But once peace is made with yourself, God will keep you in perfect peace. But this is not always easy. It's not always easy. And we'll talk about that in a minute. It's not always easy. For the simple reason, there's a world out there that we have to deal with. So to be at peace with our fellow man, the first thing we need to do is to talk to God. Talk to God about the things that we have done or might have done to interrupt that peaceful relationship, as the case may be, and talk to him about the things they might have done to interrupt the peaceful relationship. This will give you a perspective and tenderness to see the other with magnanimity as a person. Then ask God to help you see the deeper needs of the relationship and what has caused the problem. Ask him to show you your part of the problem, even if it's just 5% of the problem. Ask his forgiveness, and then surrender the problem to him. Next, take the first step. Take the first step. Jesus is very clear on that. Let's turn to Matthew 5, 23 and 24. Jesus is very clear on us taking the first step. Therefore, it says, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar, and go thy way, and first be reconciled to thy brother, and then come back and offer your gift. Now, I suspect this particular verse is the most ignored verse in the Bible. But here's the problem. Let's read about it in James 4, 17. Turn with me, please, James 4, 17. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. So once we understand, once we know, once we are told what we need to do, we know what to do to bring peace. And God wants us to be instruments of peace, and we don't do it, then to us it is sin. God goes on in Matthew 18:15, and we can look at that, Matthew 18:15. Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between you and him, and maybe you may gain him. These are things that we are commanded to do if we are to be peacemakers. If there is be peace on earth, that begins with us. You are to make the first move. And that's what Jesus expects us to do. The first move in coming to peace with yourself, and the first move in coming to peace with others. But as I said, sometimes peacemaking doesn't work. In Paul's letter to the Romans, Romans 12:18, he exhorted, "If possible on your part, live at peace with all men." Paul knew that sometimes it's not possible. Sometimes it's not possible. There are those cantankerous types who just go through life picking fights with everyone they meet, and you can't always live at peace with people like that. But you can always be at peace with yourself, and this will give you the ability to get along with them. If you're not at peace with yourself, you will not get along with them either. That's why it's important to let peace begin with me. Third question, am I at peace with God? Let's turn to Revelation 19:7. Revelation 19, and we heard about this a few days ago. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to the Lamb. Let us rejoice and be glad and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife had made herself ready. Emphasis, made herself ready. So it's something the wife, it's something we have to do. We have to make ourselves ready. Now, how do you do that? How do you make yourself ready? We've reviewed that by making peace with yourself and by becoming a peacemaker. You've made yourself ready. And Matthew 5:9, God made a promise. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. So if there's any hope of us being called or becoming children of God, we have to be at peace with ourselves. That'll give us the ability to be peacemakers, and so we will be ready to meet the King of Peace when he comes, like a hand in a glove. So until we learn to be at peace with ourselves, we will never learn to be at one with God. Now, what is our biggest obstacle to peace? Mr. Martin reminded us a few days ago, our flesh. Our flesh. There are two things that happen. First, we blame. It's always their fault. And because we blame, we justify. We find reasons to confirm that it's their fault. And so once we get into that trap, we're stuck. Be honest with yourself and make the commitment to bring more peace into your life. God has given you the power to overcome. He has given you the tools, and he has promised to keep you in perfect peace. So if you were to face the end of your life now, can you, like Paul, say, I fought a good fight, I finished my course, I've kept the faith? Paul was at peace with himself, with his fellow man, and with God. And until we are at peace with ourselves, with our fellow man, and with God, we will never be able to say like Paul, I fought a good fight, I finished my course, I've kept the faith. Some 700 years ago, a remarkable man lived on earth. Although he was the son of an Italian cloth merchant and destined to be a knight, he forsook the path of wealth and fame, choosing instead to wear a ragged cloak tied with a rope. He spent his days in poverty, and he chose to help and be a blessing to people in that way. History records that he was noble, kind, humble, and Christ-like. We know him today as Saint Francis of Assisi. Centuries after his death, someone translated one of his prayers into English, and I'll read it. Lord, make me an instrument of thy peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is hope, where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. Where there is sadness, joy. O divine master, grant that I may not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in giving that we receive. It is in pardoning that we are pardoned. It is in dying that we are born to eternal life. So now that we understand that peace is something that is made, it does not just happen. Now that we understand that we must make peace with ourselves, and when this is done, God will keep us in perfect peace. Now that we understand that we must become peacemakers at home with our families and outside with our fellow men, so that we can be called the children of God. Now that we understand that, like the bride, we must make ourselves ready by making peace with ourselves, peace with our fellow man, preparing ourselves to be one with God, as we will review next Sabbath on Atonement. As we go through the fall Holy Day season, now that we understand, we can truly say with utmost conviction, let there be peace on earth, and let it begin with me.